Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 101. Yes, this is the Caffeination Basics Edition. Hopefully everybody out there is going to enjoy today's show. We're going to keep it nice and simple for today. We have a couple little things to talk about for you in tech tidbits, a little bit of general information, a couple little sobering bits in this day in tech, and we're going to move on. And of course, we have plenty of great PodSafe music from the PodSafe Music Network. We have a little bit of caffeinated bits as well. So first off, we'd just like to welcome all of our new listeners, all three of you or four of you, or however many there are of you. This is the Caffeination Podcast. It's the high octane world of tunes and tech, coffee and all things caffeine. We like to try and cover the gamut of offbeat news, very relevant content, while not losing a bit of a sense of humor about what it is that we do. We also like to cover all the interesting caffeinated bits and caffeinated news that we find out on the internet, give you a little recipes from time to time, and if you listen to next show, 102, that's the next show after 101, in case you hadn't figured out the numbering schema here at the Caffeination. If you listen to the next show, you're going to hear a complete rundown on how we do the cleaning out PCs and stuff like that. It's going to be like a how-to, how to groom your PC or Mac, or not really good with Linux yet so far, but it's going to be a little bit of an upkeep on your browser and all the updates and everything you should have installed on your machine. We're going to talk about some of the upcoming technological changes that are in the works, and give you a little bit of an idea on how we put the podcast together, probably. So it's not going to necessarily be a whole lot of news next time. It's just going to be kind of a well-rounded, informative show. That's what we're going for. So this is the first time that we're recording the way we are today. There's one computer specifically dedicated just to recording today. And then since I have this new computer, well, new old computer that's now running Linux on it, I said, you know what? I can do all the graphical elements on that one. So we're going to try and do that. We no longer have the dual monitor set up down here in the Caffeination Labs, but having two computers, two functional computers, and the second one being a Linux workstation has actually helped out in work a couple times this week, so it's been kind of fun to do that. First up, we'd just like to mention that this show is sponsored by GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 45 days. These days, whether you're in business or you simply want to share something with family or friends, email and voicemail just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, an online meeting solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. GoToMeeting makes it easy to provide training and share information with coworkers, family, and friends. All you need is your PC, an internet connection, and a phone. You invite people to meet you online. Your attendees see your computer screen on their monitors, and best of all, you can meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for only one flat rate. But don't take my word for it. Give it a go yourself. Try it free for 45 days. No credit cards needed. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and then type in the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, the Try It Free button, and the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting. Try it free today. All right, we'd just like to thank them for sponsoring this show. It's kind of neat to have a sponsor. It helps with the bills around here, and the hosting bills and everything else that we have. So hopefully you enjoy the fact that we don't have, we're not trying to bombard you with things on there. we're not trying to bombard you with sponsored by this. Tech Tidbits is sponsored by that. This news story, just this one alone, is sponsored by this. I mean, at the most, we might ever carry maybe two sponsors. That's just to round out the portfolio, shall we say. But I don't think we're going to be going any further than that. There's not going to be no Colgate Comedy Hour or anything like that. But hopefully you're going to enjoy the way today's show is going to go. We're finding a little bit of a different musical vein to go in today, just because I heard this song and it kind of stuck with me, and I originally wasn't going to use it because I was like, I don't know if a lot of people like this kind of music. But I figured I'll throw it out there, see what happens. We are cutting down only one PodSafe song on the Caffeination here today, so hopefully you'll enjoy this one. It's a little bit of a techno beat. It doesn't have a whole lot of words or anything, just kind of good background music, it has a nice strong beat to it, so hopefully you'll like it. This is DJ A Kid from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, and his song Black Beats. So let me know what you think of this one, but again, this is DJ A Kid and Black Beats.
Our system goes.
DJ A-Kid and his song Black Beats. Hopefully you enjoyed that. We're trying to make the rounds through a whole bunch of different genres. So that was the techno kind of, a little bit of an industrial vibe going on. Next time we're going to try something a little bit more folksy, a little bit more blues rock, maybe country bluegrass, somewhere around in there. There was recently a survey I put out there to a whole bunch of my friends on MySpace and said, how well do you know me? And one of the things I threw up there was, what is my secret love in music? And I threw up country, bluegrass, hip-hop, rap, a whole bunch of different things. And not one person has gotten it right yet. So it was kind of funny to see how secret I've actually kept it. But for all the listeners out there, in case you ever come across this question, but still, I have this deep like of bluegrass music. I don't know why. Maybe it's from the movie Oh Brother Where Art Thou, but there's something about the music, it just sticks with me, and I can sing it in my head, and not something I do in public very often, but still, it's just one of those things that sticks with me. So we might touch on that genre in the next show, but now that we're done with the PodSafe music, maybe we can get into this whole thing, the tech tidbit section here. We have a couple little stories, but first off, we're going to give you our Linux log for the day. What I'm going to be doing in this section anyway is going to be giving you a little bit of a rundown on the things that I found. What I'm trying to do is switch over at least half of my computing experience, both at work and at home, over to Linux, just to expand my horizons a little bit. I'm fairly fluent when it comes to working on a PC, fairly fluent when it comes to working on a Mac. It's just every once in a while, if I'm working on a Linux machine, I find myself lost. So I don't like that feeling, being a technologist, so I decided to do something about it. And what I'm going to do is, like I said, I'm switching over. I have one of my machines at home that's currently running SUSE version 10.2. And if you don't know what that is, basically Linux, unlike Windows or unlike Mac operating system, comes in things some people call flavors. It's basically different OSs that run the same kernel. They run the same basic functions, but they have different things wrapped around them. So, like, they have a different GUI, which is the graphical user interface. They have a whole bunch of a different setup going on. So I decided, it was like, I tried out Red Hat, tried out another one, and I had used other versions of Linux or other BSDs, different kind of operating system. Again, FreeBSD and NetBSD before. I was like, you know what? I like something with a fairly robust graphical interface. I like something with the ability to just work seamlessly. I like the installer, the way the installer works on SUSE, so I'll get it a shot. So I have two machines in work right now that are servers that are actually running Linux, because I like a Linux web server. It's just a little bit cleaner than the Windows one. And so far, so good on that. The only problem I've encountered in work is on one of the computers, the video card isn't supported by Linux. Now, this is a common thing if you're thinking of switching over to Linux for your home computer. You need to kind of go through the hardware and make sure that your hardware is supported by Linux, because some of the drivers won't necessarily be there, and there might not be the same kind of community backing you up that, there's nobody you can usually call. Because the way that Linux usually works is, at least with Red Hat and SUSE, you can get the operating system for free. They charge you for support, the companies that run both of the distributions, as they're called. Given that model, you can go online. You can usually find a lot of other people who might have had the same problem as you do. But not only was the one video card not supported, so I had like 640 by 480. It was like a really big screen. The screen that I was working on was a 19-inch flat screen monitor in work, which should have had like a really nice clean layout to it, but because the video card wasn't supported, it ended up looking like I was working on a computer from like 9 to 10 years ago. All the icons and the fonts were huge. So some of the older faculty members walked in and said, "Oh my God, I wish I could make my computer look like that." I was like, "I'm trying to get it to look small and neat and svelte. All the text looking nice and tiny and clean, and you're trying to make everything gigantified." So, And then about, let's see, About a week after I installed that server, the video card on it actually died. Now, I know this isn't related to Linux. This is because this is a 7-year-old machine. And the video cards, you know, they happen to go bad in the environment we work in. There's a lot of woodworking that goes on in the area that I work in. So every once in a while, you have to go open the computer up and kind of clean out all the fans and everything. Apparently, this hadn't been done to this particular video card, and it died. Here's the fun thing about Linux, though. On Windows, if the video card doesn't work properly, if there's a degradation of the signal, Windows usually won't start. It won't do anything. It'll just sit there, and you can't access any of your files that are on it, and it's a general pain in the rear end. But I started it up. The video card doesn't work. The server's still running. So if you were to go to that server's webpage, everything's there. Everything's fully functional. And not only that, but I'm able to log in through a console, so I'm able to type a command on a text-based console, log in, and do all the commands that I would normally be able to do if I was sitting at the server, which is outstanding. I'm really happy that I had set it up to work the way that it should, but it's kind of astounding the level of the robustness that this server is showing. So it's not as big of a priority to get all a new graphics card or anything like that in. I mean, while yes, I would love to be able to actually sit at the machine to fix it, I can do things remotely that make my job that much easier. Because I mean, it can take a couple days for parts to get in sometimes, and especially when you're waiting for budget approval, it can take even longer. So far, since it's essential machine, it was kind of nice to see that it worked out the way it did. And then at home, I'm actually using the same version of Linux, but I'm using it in more of a workstation mode. There's no web server in the background, so I was like, all right, I wonder how this is actually going to work out. It comes pre-installed with something called OpenOffice, which is basically a free alternative to Microsoft Office. It comes pre-installed with GIMP, which is a free alternative to Photoshop. It comes with Firefox. It comes with a full suite of applications and games and everything that you could really want to use. And to top it all off, the computer that it's being installed on at home was running a fairly graphically intensive operating system. It was really slow when it was running what it was. And now that it's running Linux, it's really clean, really quick, and it looks 10 times better than the computer that I have sitting right next to it that's running a newer operating system. It's unbelievable. The two machines that I have sitting here now, the one that's like 6 years old was a Mac at one point in time, and then the one on my left that I'm actually recording this show on is a PC that's about 3.5 years old, but it was very high-powered when I first started it up. The one on the left has 256 megs of video RAM, and everything's very crisp, everything's very capable, and I'm able to run almost any game that's out there right now. The one on the right has a 32-meg video card in there. The one on the right actually looks better, just display-wise, than the one on the left right now. It's kind of on one hand, it's really cool because I got a very nice machine for very little money. But on the other hand, you look on the other side of it and you're like, wow, this is what happens when somebody takes care when they're developing an operating system. So just wanted to kind of update you on where I was standing with Linux lately, and there might be another update next time as we try to install a couple applications, tell you the trials and tribulations of that. Let me know if you like this kind of stuff. Let me know if you think it's boring. Please send an email over to caffeination@gmail.com. I'll stop talking about it if you really want me to. And if you're listening to this show on the stream over the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. So, all right, next up, what do we have? We have PC versus PC. Apparently tomorrow, that's going to be the 29th of, it's either the 29th or the 30th. I wasn't sure about the story, but the Daily Show with Jon Stewart is going to have Bill Gates on the as a guest. So I guess he's going to be touting the release of Windows Vista. So there is a possibility, since, and you know how Jon Stewart acts, but there is a very real possibility that Jonathan Hodgman, the I'm a PC guy from the Mac commercials, could be there. So people are saying this is going to be rather an interesting exchange with I'm a PC, no, I'm a PC. So it might be kind of interesting. I'm really tempted to see how much of a of a good sport Bill Gates is about things, you know, because he's probably going to get made fun of fairly a whole lot when it comes to this. I don't really know how well everything's gonna work out in the end, but still, it's kind of a fun thing to think about how it's gonna turn out. Not too much else there. Now they also have an ad that I saw over at I think Kotaku, but I think I'm probably mispronouncing everything, but it's the ultimate multi-tool. Now this is like a toy from somewhere in the 1980s. I haven't figured out if this is a false toy or not, but it's the MacGyver multi-tool. So you have this lovely cardboard packaging, lovely plastic thing glued to the front. There's a metal paper clip that's in the middle of it. And there's a quote from MacGyver there. It says something along the lines of, a paper clip has gotten me out of a lot of jams in my life. So it's the ultimate tool. I just thought that was awesome. It's kind of the show making fun of itself, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. And then next, I don't know how many people out there play Second Life. I know that I have an addictive personality, so when I start something along those lines, it's why I don't do a lot of massive multiplayer online games, because I just know how it would turn out. I would end up spending all my time and all my money on that, and it's not healthy for a relatively new family man, if you know what I mean. So the boy needs clothes. We don't need another guild set up in World of Warcraft. So I figure I'd probably be safer off just staying completely away from that and sticking to Xbox Live. But Second Life is kind of somewhere similar to a multi, you know, like a role-playing game. Basically, you can create a character that does almost anything, looks like almost anything, and then you basically live your life, like vis-a-vis The Sims online, where you can't control anybody else. You can only control yourself. You can build houses, you can build, you can buy islands and everything else, and with the free account that you get from Linden Labs, the company that runs Second Life, you actually get an allowance of money. But you also don't have any real estate to call your own. You can't, you know, you can't set up shop, change the way anything looks, really. You can't go into the quote-unquote sandbox areas and change things and make things up. But Second Life is kind of revolutionary because they have something like an economy. So you can make something in the game for no money, other than the money that you're paying Linden Labs every month to keep your account active and whatever real estate you wanted to buy. Pardon me, but you can make something in the game, and if somebody else likes it, the intellectual property rights of that object which you created belong to you. So you can sell that, and you can sell it for the currency that's used in the game, Linden. And you can trade currency back and forth. You can buy and sell products and services. So it's developed a fairly large GDP. You know what I mean? There's actually a gross domestic product for Second Life. And the only strange thing about it is the exchange rate. You can actually, there are ways to convert from real money to Linden very easily. But there's not ways to convert from Linden to real money very easily. Linden Labs kind of makes that a little obtuse, makes it a little harder to actually do that. So there's been a lot of branding of Second Life, at least in the business sense, the business branding of Second Life, as kind of a pyramid scheme. And I'm inclined to agree with certain aspects of it. You know, yes, it's easy to put money in, and it's hard to get money out. But, I mean, it's basically meant as a deviation. It's meant as an enjoyment, an entertainment. So that's what you're paying for each month. I don't understand what everybody has a big problem about. But there is a recent first which brought on this little diatribe here, but there was a recent first. A country, Sweden, has set up an embassy within Second Life. Yes, there is now a gigantic building of some sort that has all the English translations of Swedish laws and how to get passports. It's basically a visitor center in a virtual world, and they look to actually buy an island, which is kind of Second Life code for buying a server. So you buy a server, which is somewhere around like, I had prices at one point in time, somewhere around like $1,000 a month to keep the, I don't know, $1,000 initial outlay, and then like $125 a month for upkeep on the server. And you can do almost anything you want on this island. So Sweden's eventually looking to establish a presence in Second Life and have Swedish language businesses pay them to take up residence on this island. So they're saying that this might be the sign of things to come, so that you might actually start seeing countries setting up more embassies and more services. So if you can't get to the post office on to file your taxes, you might be able to go into Second Life and do it, or you might be able to pick forms up or have things delivered. So they're saying Second Life has the ability to become the real Internet 2.0. A while back, one of my specialties, at least in IT, as it were, especially in college, was always searching. I was very good at finding things. I was very good at doing research online and marking my tracks so that I knew where I went and finding information that was not very necessarily easy to find. Now, this is in the days before Google, but, before Google was as big as it is now, but, One of the strange things that I always found was that everybody had this, when the internet first came out, there was a large group of people who wanted to put the next level of HTML out there, VRML, virtual reality markup language. So they wanted to have like a 3D environment based on what was originally just static 2D web pages. And that whole thing kind of died out at some point. But Linden Labs and Second Life has kind of revived the idea, at least in my head, of what people are going to think that the internet is all about. It's going to be, instead of just typing in and going to a web page, you're actually going to take your avatar, your character, and head to a store to find things. You're going to have to browse through. I don't know why you would want to do this necessarily, just because it's a lot more time-consuming, but you're going to browse through a virtual store that's Amazon.com and pick things off the shelf, and the shelf's going to be empty if there's none left in stock. So it's just kind of a weird, it's an abstraction from what the internet really is. So I'm going to be really interested to see if Second Life takes up a place, or something similar to Second Life takes up a place as a different way of viewing the internet, or if somebody's going to come along and say it takes too long to do this. We were right just keeping it the flat, boring, in some cases, HTML that it was. So, just thought there might be an idea. But, so it's a nerd embassy in a way, and I fully identify with being a geek and a nerd, so I don't use that term in any kind of a down-talking manner. It's just, it just seems like a really strange thing to do, but it's kind of fun that it actually happened. So good job, Sweden. It's kind of fun things to think about, and I wonder who will be the next country to do it. One last little bit from the Tech Tidbits section, and then we'll give you a little bit of upcoming show news, tell you what to expect on the upcoming shows. But if there's a will, there's a way. Apparently, somebody with one of those Xbox Live developer accounts, Microsoft released the ability to develop applications for Xbox Live distribution for $99 a year and a $49 startup fee, which is unbelievably inexpensive when you consider that the right to license a game to put on the Xbox 360. Or let me just describe what I mean. You personally would not be able to right now write a game that would work on the Xbox 360 and start selling it. No, you have to license from Microsoft the developer's kit to develop games that use the hardware, use the graphics, use the software, and do it the right way, or else they won't let you sell a game that's supposed to work on the Xbox 360. It's kind of an interesting little way that they make money on the side of things, pardon me there. So those licenses are several thousand to several hundred thousand dollars. So it's incredibly and prohibitively expensive. So Microsoft, in kind of an overture to the smaller developers out there, is, threw up this licensing program for $99 a year that allow you to create and share projects online so that you might eventually be able to start selling your own games in the Xbox Live Arcade. One enterprising young soul has taken a Nintendo emulator, basically the ability to run an old game from the original Nintendo or Famicom system on your PC, has converted the code to work on an Xbox 360. Right now, the only way that he has of distributing it is you yourself need that $99 a year account, and he will send you all the files, and you need to know how to do all the exporting and converting yourself. But apparently, if you have these accounts, you can run other kinds of code on your Xbox 360. You can, you know, write a program, test it, burn it to a disk, throw it on the thing, and it'll work, which is kind of an interesting little proposition. But I don't think that this code's going to be around very much longer, because Microsoft's probably going to take one look at it and say, you're trying to run Nintendo games, which you don't own, on a Xbox console. We don't have the rights to use Nintendo on our console, so there's no way that we would legally allow you to do this. So get it while the getting is good. You can head on over to the link in our show notes and see what we're talking about. And you, if you have the XNA or the XGA, the developer's account for the Xbox 360, feel free to download it and give it a shot. He's actually looking for people to help him work on things, so if that's your bag, enjoy. On the upcoming show news, we talked a little bit about it earlier in the show, but we're going to be doing a full rundown on how to clean up and out your PC, how to get it starting quicker, how to explain a couple of little things that we're going to be talking about. You know, we're going to be throwing terms out there fast and furious, but we're also going to go back over and give you a little bit of a vocabulary lesson, kind of break down what each part is. So we're also going to have a link to a whole bunch of different applications that I heartily recommend. We're going to try and keep everything freeware so that you're able to do it with little or no money. It's because I know that most people out there don't have necessarily scads of money to be spending on utilities to clean up and out your PC. They should just work, and the freeware and shareware and, you know, linkware services that are out there, they help fill that void. So I'm just going to throw those links up there, and hopefully everybody will enjoy our little rundown next show, 102, airing this Wednesday, the 31st, maybe? I don't know. This could be the last show in January. I'm not really sure. Let me double-click the little calendar here. Yeah, the Wednesday will be the 31st of January. Yeah, sorry, a little bit out of it today, but still. Hopefully everything's going to be nice and good. This is the end of the Tech Tidbit section. There's just a little bit of a sobering announcement from This Day in Tech. January 28th, 1986, this is the 20th anniversary of the Challenger disaster. It's when I think 13 astronauts were rocketing into space, and 73 seconds into a liftoff, there was a malfunction, and all of them perished, unfortunately. There's been a whole bunch of tributes and everything that were put online, kind of where were you when. Show my age a little bit, I was actually in first grade, and we were watching the launch in class, and after it went the way it did, the teacher kind of turned off the TV and looked back at us, and I don't remember what she said, but everybody was just kind of staring at the TV going, did that really happen? And I don't think anybody in first grade really understood what happened, but they had, I wouldn't say counseling sessions, but the teachers were instructed how to speak to us about what had happened, and they kind of sent letters home and stuff like that. But, this is a kind of a day to remember the people that were lost in the exploration of space, and think upon them fondly, I guess you could say. And then the only other thing we had here is kind of a quirky little note, but last year, 2 days ago, actually, in the 2006, we reported on the Caffeination podcast, I think it was like Caffeination 3 or 4, we actually reported that the last telegram ever had been sent. Western Union, which opened up its doors in 1861 to send telegraphs, closed their telegraph service as of January 26th. Yes, January 26th, 2006. So it's kind of a fun thing to look back on. That's a long-standing industry. So there was no fanfare at the end. They just kind of cut it off and went with that. So kind of an interesting thing to look at. That's all we have here for Tech Tidbits. There's not much else that we saw online that was kind of interesting and worth your time, shall we say. But let's see what else we have here. There's a little bit of general information, then we'll head on into the caffeinated bits and get you on your way here today. General information here. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. That's over at techpodcasts.com. That's TechPodcasts.com. This show is also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Network. That's BLUBRRY. It's a social podcasting network site, so you can go over there, click the link to find the Caffeination podcast. You can find some of the podcasts that I listen to, and you can find people who link to me. And hey, if you head on over there and create an account, link up to my show. I'll gladly add you as a friend. Anybody who listens to my show, please consider yourself a friend of mine. And then the last little link we had in general information was Dig the Show. If you think we're an interesting show and you've been passing it off to friends and family, or if you're like one of our listeners, Mike, and it's actually trying to help you get a promotion, please let other people know about it. You can head on over to Dig, and where you can click the link in our show. It says click here to let us know. It's a little Dig This Show link. Hopefully we'll move up in the rankings. I don't think we're going to be heading anywhere near the rankings of the Twit guys. They have something like 5,000 digs or something like that at this point. But, you know, every little bit helps, every little bit of exposure. So if you think there's somebody in your life who's a very highly caffeinated person who could use a little bit of information, a little bit of technological enjoyment, then please send them a link to our show or send me their email address and I'll bug them. But, all right, that's about it for the general information section today. We have a little bit of caffeinated bits here. Not too much, not too... not too much going on in the realm of caffeination right now, but there's a couple interesting things that I just wanted to throw out there to let you know. Apparently, everybody knows my view on Starbucks. I think it's overpriced coffee that's kind of bitter, and there's just an attitude. Like, while I like going into Starbucks, I don't like paying the Starbucks prices. I like coffee shops in general, and I'm not one of the snobs that says, "Oh, what are you talking about flavored coffee? That's ridiculous." I do like coffee flavored coffee, but I will gladly experience some of the varietals that are out there. I just don't like the people who snub their nose at the original coffee, and like the plain vanilla, or not even plain vanilla, but the plain coffee flavored coffee kind of thing. And I also don't think it should be hard to order a plain coffee-flavored coffee. One of my favorite stories to tell, at least in relation to Starbucks, is one of the times I walked in there, the woman in front of me had this long, crazy, there's no other word for it, asinine order. She had a order that was like a low fat creamed non fat mochiato, and it was like it was like 17 words to describe the beverage that she was supposed to be handed back. The beverage she bought was somewhere around $4. It took like 5 minutes to make. I walk up and I said, "I'd like a large black coffee, please." I was very tired at this point. I needed caffeination. I needed something to keep me going. And the guy said, "We don't sell large here. It's tall, grande, or venti." And I said, "All right, well, pick the biggest cup you have. Give me that and fill it with plain black coffee." "Okay, well, we don't add the sugar here." I said, "Well, I'm not asking you to." He's like, "Well, I just wanted to let you know." So this exchange took place over a couple minutes, and I left frustrated with a $3 cup of coffee, venti-sized, and it just an entirely irritating venture, and it stuck with me ever since. So I don't have a very fond opinion of Starbucks, although I think some of the things they do are good, some of the things are not so much. But apparently, if anybody remembers, a while ago they had the music download stations where you could download music and burn a CD and have your Starbucks mix available. Kind of a strange little idea that never really took off the ground. I think they only ever sold like a couple hundred CDs like that. Nobody really wanted to spend that kind of time in a Starbucks. So now what they're doing is they're branching out into a music download service, which is what they should have done from the beginning, and have little kiosks where you can select music, download it to a USB key or something like that. I don't know how the DRM works in there, but I just thought thought it'd be kind of funny. It's like, what are you going to do, order this up at the counter? Like a non-fat mocha latte and the newest Coldplay single to go, please? We'll see how it goes. And one other thing I wanted to really talk to you about here is one of the things that my mother has suggested on many occasions. Said, "Well, you do know that this is a very common thing in our family, and I wanted to ask everybody else's opinion of it." One of the things that I like to do when it comes to coffee is I'll brew a nice big hot steaming pot of coffee, and then I'll let it sit overnight. And I will drink it the next day, and if should it happen to go the day after that, I would still drink it. So there's nothing wrong with me with 2-day-old coffee or 3-day-old coffee. I will save coffee until it's done because, I mean, it's just a waste to throw it out. And she said apparently this is not a common practice. So I'm just wondering out there. I want to throw out a little question and answer kind of thing, see if anybody else out there either has an aversion to eating day-old coffee or a or if you kind of crave it. I mean, I apparently my grandmother wouldn't drink coffee on the day that she made it. She would make it the night before and drink it in the next morning. So I don't know. It's strange, but hey, to each his own. You know what I mean? All right, and now finally the last little bit of caffeinated information we have is the pregnant pause. Yes, the people who are lovely coffee addicts who get pregnant were often told to reduce or completely eliminate their coffee intake. Well, apparently some scientific studies have come out that completely debunk that and says, no, drinking coffee will not cause you to have a premature baby. I do, however, you know, a small aside, think that's pretty funny. If you're drinking coffee, then you can have a premature baby. What's the kid gets so impatient being in there that he cooks that much faster? So and he wants to get out nice and early. Now, apparently there's no correlation between the two events. So fun thing to throw out there. So all the pregnant mothers-to-be or anybody you know who might be pregnant who's jonesing for their cup of coffee, just let them go. All right, let's see what else we have. That's about it for Caffeinated Bits. That's about it for the rest of the show. So hopefully you enjoyed our new format. If not, you want me to break it up differently, please feel free to let me know. You can send email, comments, suggestions, feedback, hate mail, whatever else you feel like sending our way. Go head on over to caffeination@gmail.com. That's caffeiination.com. Sorry, that's rather caffeination@gmail.com is the email address. The website where you can find this lovely show is www.caffeiination.com. Our MySpace friends account is myspace.com/caffeination. And our personal blog, which is unfortunately woefully out of date at this point, we're working on that, is puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. So hopefully everybody enjoyed this show. Hopefully you enjoyed the new way that we're doing this. And thanks for listening. Stay caffeinated, people.